This time on episode 281 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we discuss Runaways, Season 1, Episode 10, Hostile, and weekly Marvel news.
I'm Andrew from the Dad.io podcast. Life supplies the inputs, and we supply the outputs. Part of the Going to Geek network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned, and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other fantastic and amazing geeky shows at goingtogeeknetwork.com.
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
And I'm Agent Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. This show is recorded on Sunday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, 2019, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast worldwide via www.geeks.live. Come on and join our live chat as we record. Michelle, happy National Astronaut Day.
Astronauts are so cool. Would you ever go to space?
I was thinking about that, and because of my Meniere's disease, I get vertigo really easily, but if it wasn't for that, I would go to space, like, tomorrow.
I would, too.
Like, literally, I would just call, you know, I would use the pager that Fury gave me to call Carol, and I would say, take me to space, and that would be it.
So you're saying, basically, you just want Captain Marvel to swoop in, pick you up, no ship, no nothing, and just send you to space?
I am okay with that. If that is my last moments in life, that would be one heck of a ride. That's for sure. Did you happen to see the latest on the SpaceX capsule, the Dragon capsule, the crew capsule? Did you hear what happened to that?
Did it go boom?
It went boom big time. Yeah. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow night on the GunnaGeek.com show. But in the meantime, let's get back to this one, astronauts and all. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is now in the 51st hiatus week following the season 5 finale, and it comes back next week! The multiple Marvel small screen series and the Marvel cinematic and comic book universes in general.
Because of $8 chickens.
If you'd like to talk to us about the value of feeding organic chickens to dinosaurs, you can leave us a comment on our website at legendsofshield.com.
You can leave us a voicemail about how overpriced Whole Foods is at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
If you want to leave the ladies a comment about store-bought chickens, you can catch them on our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can find us on Twitter at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can leave us a comment on YouTube at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. About how dinosaurs might like chicken extra crispy or original.
You could tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And you can come and join our Discord server chat at GunnaGeek.com/Discord and talk all about chickens.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
All right, so we're not totally abandoned here. We have the newly promoted Michelle, Agent Michelle, with us today. So that is awesome. Now, Haley is in the process of moving. She had, I don't know, something come up, like the bad guys figured out where she was living. So she needed to move to a different safe house. So she's got that going on. And then Lauren, it's Cinco de Mayo. Just take a guess at what's happening with Lauren. I guarantee you, you're probably a little bit wrong. Unless you really know Lauren, but it is Cinco de Mayo, and Lauren loves Cinco de Mayo.
Well, they'll be back soon.
Hopefully, they'll be back next week for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 premiere. I can't believe that's next week. In the meantime, we've got a great show for you. We're talking about the Season 1 finale of Runaways, and that's coming up right now. We're talking about The Runaways Season 1, Episode 10, Hostile. It aired on Hulu January 9th, 2018. We're almost just a year behind, which is pretty good in Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. terms. It was directed by a man who's very familiar to us on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. His name is Mark Jobst. He has 28 directing credits, which started in the year 2000. He had 5 episodes of Casualty, 2 episodes of Criminal Justice, two episodes of Upstairs, Downstairs, one episode of Hannibal, which is somebody's favorite show, not mine, one episode of Black Sails, one episode of The Punisher, which we just finished season one of that a little while ago, one episode of The Runaways, that would be this episode, two episodes of Luke Cage, two episodes of Daredevil, and two episodes of Berlin Station. Michelle, who wrote this episode of The Runaways?
This episode was written by Quentin Peoples, has 17 writing credits starting in 1993, including three episodes of Flash Forward, one of The Last Ship, four of Unforgettable, two Iron Fist, one Inhumans, and four episodes of Runaways. And Runaways is based on the Marvel comics by Brian K. Vaughan and Adrian Alfona.
Hostile is the name of the episode, and we often equate the name of the episode to the theme of the episode, so we're just going to turn to Michelle and see what she thinks about the theme being the title for this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of hostility in this one. We have the fight at the beginning with the kids versus the parents. Then later on, Leslie is angry at Jonah. Jonah's angry at Pride. And then eventually, they get the world hostile towards them by claiming the kids not only kidnapped Molly, but also killed Destiny, who is the runaway from the beginning of the season.
That was a low blow. I did not see that one coming. I saw that on the TV screen on the episode and was like, what? Oh my gosh. They're now fugitives and they didn't do it. They didn't do it at all. And I'm like, oh my gosh, who? Then my mind raced to who actually did it. And we don't know. That's the cliffhanger here. You don't know who sold the kids down. Now, Jeffrey said at one point in time that I'm not going to do this because then they're not going to call us at all. So I don't think it's Jeffrey or either of the Wilders, really. And then your mind starts wondering. It's like, who is it? Could it be Frank? Could it be Jonah? Could it be Leslie? Could it be Vaughn acting on either Leslie's behalf or Jonah's behalf? Because you don't know where Jonah's loyalties lie at the end of this. You don't know exactly where Frank's loyalties lie. I mean, he's kind of aligned with Jonah because he's around Jonah, but you don't know if he's like just planting himself there. I have no. Wow. This was a great season finale. Michelle knows you're watching this the second time through. Did you pick up anything more?
Well, it's been a while since I have watched this. The importance of the two women who are the part of the Church of Gomorrah that you see at the beginning of the season, who pick up runaways, who, you know, like, oh, you'll get a warm meal and a shower and all of that. I remember now, basically, they're like the enforcers. And just like you have to keep your eye on Vaughn, I completely forgot how you have to keep your eye on them as well, because they do come back next season. So I did forget. You know, watching this again, I'm like, oh my goodness, you don't hardly see them, but they are very integral into how the church runs. So that I picked up on that this time.
I think their names are Francis or Francis and Aura, A-U-R-A. So I'm not sure if that's Aura or Aurora. It's not Aurora. It's got to be Aura. And I just caught that the second watch too. I actually watched this a couple of times. I was gone this past week and took my Roku stick with me. And one night I just wanted something to watch and I put it on. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I really wanted to see this as well, but we had the whole Avengers Endgame thing last week. And then I watched it again today in preparation for this podcast and I did catch their names. They have been shifty the entire time and I've wondered how integrated they are. I don't know where their allegiance is either, which is problematic. I'm not sure if they're the ones running the show and Jonah reports to them. I don't know if they report to Jonah. I don't know if they're running security or they just called security. I have no idea. And I don't know if they allowed Carolina to escape. I don't know who did. Somebody allowed Carolina to escape. Vaughn made it happen, but I don't know who was pulling the strings to make that happen.
So Leslie has basically, the way Jonah attacked Carolina at the beginning of the episode and basically took her to the 2001 room and said, I want to be alone with my daughter. You can leave now. Leslie finally breaks from her lifelong brainwashing, and it is lifelong, and is standing up to Jonah and is going against her. She's the one that gets Vaughn to help Chase and Molly get Carolina out, the two women are on Jonah's side as the enforcers. Because when they were running out, they're the ones that called security because they realized that this isn't right. Because Jonah's stepping up and taking control of the church. If you remember that scene when the Wilders come to talk to Jonah and all that church security comes because they're recognizing Jonah as the leader of the church.
That takes me back a second as well. Was Jonah Leslie's dad? I mean, because we saw the picture of Leslie with somebody. Is Jonah the guy that created the church to begin with?
Okay, since you're putting this together, yes, Jonah is the one that guides Leslie's father into the founding of the church.
Okay, so David is his name, not Frank, and he guides David, but he wasn't David?
No. Okay, Jonah is not Leslie's father. Jonah is Jonah. Remember when Chase puts on the X-ray goggles, he's this being of light?
Yeah.
And the church talks about an angel of light and beings of light. That is Jonah. So Jonah with David creates the church. Leslie was brainwashed and was conditioned to become Jonah's mate, basically, in order to bring about Carolina.
Okay, so the fact that Leslie has powers has nothing to do with Jonah.
Leslie doesn't have powers.
I thought Leslie can turn luminescent.
No, that's Carolina.
Okay, so I got that whole scene in Frank's head wrong when he was catching Leslie and Jonah together.
Jonah's the one that emits the light. So when Leslie went to Jonah's bedroom, that's the 2001 room, earlier in the season, and you saw that light's coming from Jonah.
Okay.
Leslie's just a regular human, has a regular human mother.
All right. I thought that Leslie had powers, but I guess not. So Carolina has powers, though, because Jonah's her father.
Correct.
Okay. Which, I don't know, man, what Jonah does to Carolina at the beginning, great face-off, standoff between the two groups. And Jonah, just because the kids, I was thinking about this, they just don't realize what their powers are, and they don't realize what Jonah's powers are. So they don't really have a plan other than we're just going to face off on you one-on-one, and they get their butts handed to them. Carolina executes a delaying tactic to allow the rest of the kids to run away and basically acts as a shield. But then something happens, like a major explosion between the two powers happens, and then Carolina, I think, gets knocked out and then has to be taken to the church afterwards. We don't see any of that. So I'm not quite sure exactly. I'm taking a lot on faith on what happened there. But the rest of the kids, they were able to run away at that point. I was thinking it might be good for them to take Gert's car. But at the other hand, you know, Gert's car really doesn't look all that reliable and could have broken down in a chase. So it was probably better for them to take off on foot.
Well, when Jonah and Carolina faced off and their energies kind of created that weird, I don't know, black hole, and they, when they overpowered each other, they created an EMP pulse. And that's why her car wouldn't work.
They couldn't have taken the car anyway. Got it.
And you're right. Carolina does get knocked out, and that's why she has to, you know, recover. And Jonah comments on her healing abilities kicking in.
It's just weird that he would do that to Carolina, because he is her father, and the fact that he didn't care about her enough that he did that was really bad.
Yes, and more of that comes about on season two. I know season two is technically out of the spoiler range, but you have not seen it, SP, and I do not want to spoil it for you.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think I'm safe in having to avoid them at this point in time, but I could just happen to run into them. And I was thinking, just like Tina was played as the bad guy this entire time, and then we find out that even though she's done some things or would have done some things that were bad, she wasn't the monster that everybody made her out to be. At least that's what we see right now. Jonah might be in that same boat as well. I don't know. And you're right. It's kind of hard for you to comment on anything because you'd spoil it. But just know that I'm thinking, I'm not taking everything on face value with the show because it's been done so well.
Yeah. Leslie finally confesses to the group that she's the one that killed Molly's parents and also knew that Jonah was going to take care of Amy. Jonah thought Amy learned about the sacrifices when in fact all Amy was doing was actually looking for wizard secrets. But because wizard is connected to Pride, which is connected to Jonah, and we learned about the footage being kept on wizard servers, Jonah decided to take matters in his own hands and killed Amy.
That was rough. That's going to be a rough one to reconcile for everybody at this point in time. I was watching Janet as well, and she's got a newfound competence to her in this episode because she was like, okay, you know, I'm worried about Chase and we need to game this with Chase, but she's also got her husband who is in the stasis right now. And so she's gaming some stuff, but at the same time, I think she realizes the true evil. Again, I'm not sure how this is all going to pan out, but I was impressed with Janet's performance in this episode versus the beaten housewife that she kind of was portraying before.
Yes. And in season two, you actually see her develop even more. You learn more about her past and what she's actually capable of.
I assume she was capable of a lot just because of that original meeting between Victor and Janet in college. I was actually impressed with her back then. She mentioned that she had put aside her career in, I forget exactly what it was. I want to say it was some advanced biologics, but I can't remember for sure. And she had put that aside to be Victor's wife and Chase's mom. And a lot of people make that choice, but I have never minimized her and her capabilities because I know she's got some capabilities to her. Alex in this one had a switcheroo. He called Darius. And first of all, I was impressed that I remembered Darius's phone number because he just met the dude. How does he know his phone number? So he must have gone through some wickets in order to get it. Either than that, or he's got an eidetic memory and he saw Darius's phone at some point. And regardless, he calls Darius. He asks for a favor. He ends up with money out of the deal, like a wad of money. I don't know what else transpired between the two of them.
Again, a lot of this really leads into the season premiere of season two. You learn more about Darius and Alex and what the kids are doing to survive in LA after they have to. Now they're runaways. Now they are runaways officially. They've got the cops on their tail. They've got, you know, a dinosaur named Old Lace going with them.
Oh, that was great. Old Lace actually got a name.
I loved how first when they were first running away and they had her in the shopping cart and pushing her along, and they are actually finding out how much things cost, you know, the chicken and thrift store clothes and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, Brentwood's finest when you get them on the run. And I don't know if I really want to call them runaways at this point, because the majority of them are actually fugitives, not runaways. But I guess the same term applies in this case. I don't know.
Well, they've run away from their parents, from Jonah. They're being framed as fugitives.
I don't know. The definition of a fugitive is wanted by law enforcement and you have not been captured yet. I think they meet that definition since officially they're wanted by the police.
Okay, fine.
But yes, at the same time, they are also runaways. I thought that was interesting. By the way, when Chase and Molly infiltrate the Church of the Gaborim, they are filling out the forms and they take the writers, make sure that some of the lines that they don't fill out are the fact that they don't have any family. They just put NA there. So when Vaughn brings their forms up to Francis and Aurora, that they immediately see that line on top and they're like, oh, you are in special indeed because you are now future victims for this whole process. So I think that's why they let them by and why they said they were special, but I could be mistaken. But that was interesting because they were saying that they were runaways like Destiny.
It was a good plan to infiltrate the church.
I was wondering if they were going to be recognized, but I guess none of the kids go around there because, well, it's not like your neighborhood church. It's the church of the, it's like a cult almost.
Right. It's not like they go over there to hang out with Carolina. It's not like they're having sleepovers at the Church of Gomorrah.
Yeah, I don't think I'd, no, thank you. What else you got for this episode?
I used to live out in Los Angeles, and a lot of people forget that there are indeed wooded areas. There are, especially around the Hollywood sign and the Griffith Park in the observatory. That was actually very realistic how they go and they camp out in that part of Los Angeles. Around the Hollywood sign, there's notorious trail hikes around in there. So yes, people, that part of LA actually does exist. It's not one of those like made up Chicago geographical things. An area like that is actually in Los Angeles.
It's been a few years since I've been out to the LA and the Valley in that area out there. But the last time I was out there, I do remember as you're going in between LA and the Valley to the north, there is wooded area through the like a mountain ridge or something like that. And then on the north side of the valley, there's also something like that. And then also to the east, there's this sort of wooded area. So, yeah, I agree with you. And it just boggles your mind, especially since like 405. I hate 405. I-405, if there is one freeway that I would be happy never to drive on again in my entire life, it would be I-405. Because that place just sucks. If you've ever heard of the event called Carmageddon, they actually shut down the entire length of I-405 through LA, north to south at one point in time, because they were just replacing all the bridges and they thought, oh, it'd be a great idea. Let's shut it down for 3 days. Let's tell everybody it's going to be shut down for 3 days and just shut it down for 3 days instead of doing these monumental, incremental traffic jams and repairing all these bridges. And they just did it all at once, at least the lane closures all at once. But that weekend, it was called Carmageddon because you weren't going to be able to drive through LA at all because 405 was that bad. Any metropolitan area that depends on just one freeway through it, like H1 in Honolulu, like I want to say I-35 through Dallas, Fort Worth area, you know, it's, you just have to scratch your head and go, city planners could have done a lot better.
I know the 405 is awful. And unless you know about Sepulveda or some of the ways through with the canyon, it also depending on just how far north you're coming from. I mean, there's the 5, but the 5 goes, it's east of the 405. And oh my goodness, I haven't even been in LA for like 10 years and I still remember all of the, anyway. I used to live in the San Fernando Valley where you have to take the 101 to the 405 if you wanted to go downtown. 101. Anyway, now I'm starting to sound like that skit from Saturday Night Live that's called The Californians and how they just talk about how to go anywhere. And I know, sorry, everyone, for the LA traffic discussion, but it is that bad. And, you know, yeah, that is, they had a good plan. And Gert has a good plan of having Old Lace go and survive and be friends with the mountain lion, because yes, there are mountain lions in those, in the, them, their hills in Los Angeles. It's a good plan, but she ends up finding her in a, you know, dumpster later on near the bus station, because, you know, Old Lace and her are connected.
Yeah, Old Lace is tracking everybody down. I'm wondering about the intelligence level of Old Lace at this point. Is this like a very committed dog, or is this like a higher intelligence, like a dolphin sort of thing? I don't know. We'll find out. Also, I do want to bring up the fact that we do have a new nickname for Vaughn, and that's Yawn. So from now on, when we talk about Vaughn, I'm going to say Yawn.
I love that. Like, who names their child Yawn? It's like, for crying out loud, just take your coffee and go.
I mean, even if it was an Asian pronunciation, you know, an Asian name, you wouldn't actually spell it Y-A-W-N. 6 shots of espresso. That would kill most people.
I know. That's dangerous. Don't do that, people.
I know. I realize caffeine is very addictive and that you can build up a tolerance to it. It's one of the many reasons I drink decaf or half calf at the strongest. But six shots of espresso, that's half a pot at least, if not a full pot of coffee at once. Ooh, be a lot. All right. I'm looking forward to season 2. I have no idea when we're going to cover season 2 because we've got Legion, which is coming out next month. Next week, we start Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know when season 7 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. rolls in. Plus, we've got the movies coming up. Remember, we've got the X-Men movie. We've got Spider-Man to talk about. So a lot of stuff is going on in Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I do want to get back to Runaways too. Plus, we got Cloak and Dagger to cover too. Michelle, oh. We need to get with Haley to get our schedule all in whack here.
Well, I have the schedule going and I have a little list of all the possible shows we could cover. And it keeps getting longer. We know there's more the Netflix things, but they're canceled and they're dark, which is one of the reasons why we wanted to do Runaways, something that wasn't as intensive like The Punisher.
I'd be fine going back to Jessica Jones at some point, too. The only reason I would want to do, and we got to talk about this offline, but just for our audience, the only reason why I would want to do Legion is because we're current on Legion, and Legion starts, I mean, we'd be picking up Legion mostly on time. I mean, it'd be in the off weeks of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we could pick that up. I don't know. Like I said, we'll have to talk to everybody, and I need to get into that document that Michelle has, and we'll just see what's next. If you had a choice, though, Michelle, I'm going to put you on the spot here. You had a choice other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we are definitely covering. You don't have a choice on that. What would you want to cover next?
Well, we are current on Legion, and Legion season 3 is the last one. So it would be kind of nice to do that one. Like I said, so we could have our therapy session, because that's what our podcast on Legion ends up becoming, explanations of the time-space continuum and a therapy session.
Yeah. And then I'm not interested in covering The Gifted, which has been canceled now after 2 seasons, although they might still be picked up by somebody, but I don't know. I doubt it. So yeah, Legion, and then maybe next season of Runaways, or maybe the first season of Cloak and Dagger. I don't know. We'll have to come to it when we have an open week, which I don't think we're going to have an open week until like July at this point. So audience, if you have a preference, I know a couple of you have a preference on Cloak and Dagger, but if you have a preference on what we want to talk about next, we will take your insights into consideration. Michelle, any last words on season 1 of The Runaways?
I really like how they built up the parents and the kids. So this way we could actually see how complicated the situation is. How intricate Jonah's plan has been over 20 years. And it also, we got great character moments. And it's really great to see how all these little seeds have been planted and how they come to fruition in season 2. It's just a really good show.
It is. It was a really good setup. I can't wait to get to season 2 whenever that's going to be. And I'll have to figure out if I want to be spoiled or not at this point. Like if I want to spoil myself, if I want to go ahead and watch it or not. I don't know. We'll see. All right, so we will be covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6, Episode 1, next week in the 52nd hiatus week, which I guess by definition, it's no longer a hiatus, but that's exactly 1 year to the week, not to the day, but 1 year since we had a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. I cannot wait. And it's kind of amazing that we kept that count going. Usually those things don't last that long on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we kept it going and it's exactly 1 year. Can't wait for Missing Pieces and the rest of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's going to be a fun one. In the meantime, let's get on to some news. Michelle, there's one very important news item that we have to cover this week.
You know, it's one of those things, even if you're not a Marvel fan, you cannot escape any sort of news about Endgame. It is official. Avengers Endgame passes Titanic to become number 2 film ever worldwide with $2.189 billion in international box office. So the same goes for overseas, where Endgame is also now number two with a running total of $1.569 billion. That's after grossing a further $282.2 million at the international box office in the sophomore session. Both globally and offshore, Endgame is still led by only Avatar. Earlier noted that Endgame was on its way to passing $2 billion globally through Saturday, becoming only the fifth movie ever to hit that lofty benchmark and Disney's third. The 22nd MCU pick is now the fastest ever to the milestone in just 11 days. Avatar, the previous record holder, did it in 47. With the Sunday estimates, there is now about $459 million separating Endgame from Avatar overseas and roughly $600 million worldwide. 11 days, not even 2 weeks.
Yeah, it broached it on Saturday, which is just amazing. Okay, so there are further numbers here, and I went into Box Office Mojo to look into that. The MCU has been 22 movies long, and that does include the Spider-Man Homecoming movie. They are number fourth right now, domestic, with $619.7 million. The Marvel's The Avengers, the first one at $623.3 million. Number two, Avengers Infinity War, which is the previous movie here, at $678.8 million. And number one is Black Panther at $700 million. I got to believe that in the span of the next week, Endgame is going to go above Black Panther. But I don't know, it might be close because you don't know what the tail off after 2 weeks, after all the spoilers come out. I don't know what the tail off is going to be this next week. So that's within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now let's look at total domestic grosses. It is the number two worldwide movie. Now, domestic, it's number nine at $619.7 million. Number eight is Star Wars The Last Jedi at $620. Number seven is Marvel's The Avengers at $623. Jurassic World at $652 million. Titanic domestically is $659 million. Avengers Infinity War at $678 million. Black Panther at $700 million. Avatar at $760 million, and Star Wars The Force Awakens at $936.6 million. That's the benchmark to beat domestically to try to get to that $1 billion domestic. So that's domestic. Now, worldwide, Avengers Endgame, of course, is only number two to Avatar. And just amazing numbers at 11 days. This is going to be staying in the theater for a few more weeks. Like at least one or two more weeks. It's going to be fun to see how much this accrues over time. And is it going to be an enduring movie throughout the summer, or is it just going to be forgotten within a month?
I don't think it's going to be forgotten in a month. And the fact that it just demolished this weekend's box office, it's like nobody realized other movies came out, but other movies did come out this week. And considering how many articles are being written about the time travel and things that you missed the first time around, there are people, I think, who are waiting for the heat to die down, like who don't want to stand in line an hour and a half, but they're willing to wait 2 to 3 weeks before a movie comes out. I do know people who are like that. And then Spider-Man's going to be coming out. And then I think people are going to be talking about how Spider-Man connects with Endgame because it's supposed to take place after Endgame, and how Peter and all of his friends are conveniently still the same age because they all got dusted, and you know how they come back 5 years later. People are going to be talking about that as well. So no, I don't think this movie is going to go away anytime soon.
So I think this is domestic. You're talking about the weekend. These are domestic numbers for this weekend. There were four new movies that came out. One didn't even make $1 million. I think that's, yeah, $1 million. Number 10 is Dumbo at 1.4 million. Number 9 is Little at 1.4 million. Shazam at number 8 at 2.45 million. The Curse of La Llorona, I think it's pronounced, at 3.5 million. Breakthrough, number 6 at 3.9 million. Captain Marvel still bringing in number 5th place at $4.2 million. I don't know how much of that was pulled from Endgame or how much of that was just sustained on its own. Three new movies, Ugly Dolls at 8.5 million. That's 8.5 million for Ugly Dolls. Long Shot, 10.0 million. First weekend. Yeah. You're going against weekend number two of Endgame. Number two, The Intruder at $11 million. The second movie this weekend, $11 million. I wouldn't want to go up against this movie for a month.
But hey, there are studio executives that are like counter-programming. The Long Shot is a romantic comedy I heard is very good, but it's coming out the second week of Endgame.
I've seen a couple trailers of Long Shot. I actually want to see the movie, but I don't think I'm going to go to the theater to see it. If I'm going to go to the theater, I'm going to see Endgame again. Heck, I might even want to go see Captain Marvel, although that Blu-ray does come out next month. So it's just a few weeks left. I don't know when the Endgame Blu-ray is scheduled to come out. So we'll see when that is. I'm going to think it's going to be the holiday season later on this year. This is just, we'll be watching it every single week, and we'll probably be ticking the gates off until it reaches $3 billion. So that's my, you know, Haley wanted to get $1 billion domestic. She wanted to get $1 billion the first weekend, which, yes, she got the $1 billion, $1.2 billion the first weekend. She wants $1 billion domestic. My thing is $3 billion. I want it to beat Avatar. We'll see if it gets there.
It's going to be fun watching these numbers.
Certainly is. Well, Michelle, I think that's all that we have time for today, which isn't really true, but, you know, without the other two around, I don't know if I want to spend more time on the microphone.
Understood.
But, yep, that's it for this week. And you know what? It's time to push our companion dinosaur in a shopping cart on the way to get this one out. Thank you very much to all of our listeners. We really appreciate that. Let us know what you thought about Endgame. Let us know what you thought about our analysis of Endgame. If you come up with any new fan theories, we would love to talk about them in the future.
Yes, thank you for listening. Also, we really appreciate it when you interact with us. Please let us know, what would you like us to cover after S.H.I.E.L.D.? It would be great for you to let us know. Do you want us to dive right into Legion afterwards, or do you want us to go right into Runaways season 2 after S.H.I.E.L.D.? We want to hear from you, and if enough of you say so, then you will actually influence our schedule.
Well, there's one other thing that I forgot to talk about, and Lauren's probably going to slap my hand about it. She wanted to talk about two things. She wanted to talk about the Griffith Observatory. She also wanted to talk about Carolina's garbs that she was wearing. And it was very familiar, very similar to the comics. So I'm sure she'll talk about that next week when we get into the later parts of the podcast. But we're going to have a lot to talk about next week on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Can't wait for it. And until next time, I'm Director SB.
And I'm Agent Michelle.
It's going to take some getting used to, but you deserve it, Michelle.
Thank you.
Bye. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
So is it just us?
Yep, just you and I. I think we can handle it, but I don't know. It might be sketchy, but I just got a feeling.
Yeah. Wait, this is its 51st hiatus week. That means it's going to come back a year after it went on hiatus.
Yep, that's right.
I did math.
Well, it's Cinco de Mayo. Oh, it's also National Astronaut Day.
And there you go.
I'm going to go for National Astronaut Day. Especially with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming next week.
Yep.
Homage to Tony Stark and yada yada. It's also National Hoagie Day, National Infertility Survival Day, National Lemonade Day, and National Cartoonist Day. Huh. could go with cartoonist, but I'm going to go astronaut.
Astronaut. When in doubt, go space.
So the first time I saw it, I thought that they had gotten a stretcher and they were pushing Lace in a stretcher, you know, from an ambulance or something like that. The second time I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense. It's just a shopping cart. Because the cops, if it was an actual stretcher, I could see the cops going, wait a minute, when they ran into him on the street. It's good to be back in the studio.
Oh, yeah. When did you come back?
Friday.
Oh, is that Jarvis is my co-pilot?
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, you can't really see it, can you?
That's awesome. Where'd you get that?
Oh, it came in one of those crates, the Marvel crates.
Oh, yeah. Back when those crates were a big phase.
Yep.
Phase and craze. Those are basically gone now, I guess.
Well, you can still get them from Amazon, from what I heard, but. Broadcast has been successfully terminated by Yawn.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2013 through 2019.